Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Please, Exodus chapter 20. You know, for the last few weeks, we have been working our way through the Ten Commandments. And basically, each week, you know, my real intention here is fairly simple. Basically, we want to ask what they mean. What's the commandment about? Some of them are fairly self-explanatory, as we've seen. Some need a little bit of explanation. And then, of course, most importantly, how do they apply to our lives? I mean, we can sit and read this stuff till we're blue in the face, but if we don't apply it to our lives, if it doesn't have some effect on us and in our hearts, then it's just kind of a spinning our wheels. And so we don't want that. And I wanted to take the time to look at these, first of all, because of their uniqueness. It strikes me that, you know, this is the one time when God Himself spoke to all of His people gathered in one place. It's never happened before, it's never happened since. That makes this a very unique event when the Ten Commandments were given. But not only that, I also am wanting to look at these because Jesus Christ, as He ministered here on this earth for the time that He was here, He mentioned these commandments many times. And He reaffirmed them for us, showing us that they're still relevant for you, still relevant for me, thousands and thousands of years later. However, tonight, the commandment that we're going to be taking a look at is very likely one that you may think doesn't apply to you. You know, many Christians tend to think that the 9 of these commandments apply to them, but the 5th commandment is really only for one group of people. Kids. Children. Little ones. So why don't you look at verse 12 with me, and let's read that 5th commandment together. Verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Tonight I just want to ask real simply 3 simple questions about this commandment. First of all, what is it teaching? What is it telling us? Second of all, what did Jesus have to say about this commandment? And then lastly, of course, how do we keep it? How do we keep and obey this commandment? But before we get to the exploring those questions, let's take a couple moments and ask the Lord to bless His Word. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank You for Your presence in this place. Thank You for a wonderful time of worship. Even though that worship is for You, Lord, we thank You for it. And I pray, Lord, that as our hearts are still in that place of worship, still at Your throne, still looking into Your face, I pray that as we look at Your Word, that You would begin to teach us. Hopefully, Lord, our hearts are softened. Our hearts in a good place where You can teach us and change us, mold us and shape us. And I pray that You would take this commandment, maybe one that we don't give much thought to as adults, and show us, Lord, how it applies. Show us how it should affect our lives and how we treat not only our parents, but others around us as well. Holy Spirit, we invite You to teach us tonight. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, guys, why don't we begin this evening by looking at what this commandment teaches. First of all, as I mentioned before, and contrary to what many have thought, this is not a commandment that's just for kids. You know, that's just for little children. I have a feeling whenever we see the words mother and father, we tend to think of little kids. And so this commandment gets relegated that way. But we need to remember, when this commandment was first given, when it came from the mouth of God, remember that's how the Israelites first received the Ten Commandments, not from stone tablets in Moses' hands, but first verbally, they heard it from God. Who was He speaking to? Anybody? Everyone, wasn't He? He had the entire nation of Israel standing there before Mount Sinai, a large number of whom were adults. So in other words, God gives this command not just to kids, not just to little ones, but to adults as well. And the command here regardless of your age, is this: honor your father and your mother. Now, you would think that maybe that would be an easy enough thing to understand. Sadly, the word honor has taken quite a beating in our society today. We've redefined the word so many times and pared it down to such slender things that sometimes it doesn't even mean anything anymore. The things that this world honors sometimes are the completely dishonorable things. And things that should be honored are not. So what does this word honor mean? Well, the word honor that God uses here has behind it the idea of weight. That's really what this word means, is weight. And it carries the idea of basically not treating your parents or taking your parents lightly, of regarding them as something significant, as something substantial in your life. It means giving them the high esteem that God says that they are due. It's elevating them to a place of importance in your life. Not a sidelight, not something you deal with once in a while and then are happy when it moves on, but something that is elevated to a place of prominence in your life. Basically, God is commanding each one of us here to treat our parents weightily, to treat them as people of great worth. That's what He's telling us. To treat them with deference, to take them very seriously in your life. That's what that word honor carries with it. And if you think about it, when you were a little kid, when I was a little kid, when most of us were little kids, didn't we almost do this naturally? When we were really little, right? Your whole world revolved around who? It wasn't Captain Kangaroo or Bugs Bunny. It was Mom and Dad, wasn't it? Absolutely. That was everything. I mean, it amazes me how much young children only want their parents. Well, it's usually mom, if we're quite honest about it. But you know what I mean. They want to be with their parents. I mean, that's always amazed me. Even, you know, Kyla's my youngest. She's 8 now. She were going to help me. I know her age. She's 8. March 20th? No? That's Jeff. Okay. Well, I know how old she is. But anyway, my youngest, Kyla, who's 8 years old, still, if she's home with me and Deb's not there and the garage door opens, "Mom's home! Mom's home!" And she's running through the house, sometimes to Deb's dismay because she just wants to relax. But, you know, that's how we were as kids to one degree or another. What their parents think of them is all that matters. Now, we do grow out of that, don't we? We do. There comes a stage in life when that changes. And it should. Those things have to develop and grow. And each one of us, as we got older in our families, we began to be more independent, didn't we? We kind of stood on our own 2 feet and we wanted a bit of distance. You know, we wanted a little bit of autonomy, a little bit of being able to do what we want to do instead of what our parents wanted. And soon, sometimes in good ways and sometimes in not so good ways, other people and other influences begin to take on greater weight in our lives. They begin to take and have greater sway in our lives. Sometimes, as we begin to become very aware of the faults of our parents, maybe some of you might even remember the day when you realized, Mom and Dad aren't perfect. Mom and Dad got issues, you know? Mom and Dad got problems. Or perhaps, oftentimes, it's in just youthful rebellion that we have all dealt with. And when all that stuff starts to happen, our parents kind of begin to actually fall pretty far down the scale of weightiness. all of a sudden they're not that big deal in our life. And guys, I believe that it is at that point, regardless of age, but it is at that point when God steps in and He stops us and He basically says to us in so many words here, don't you dare. Don't you dare grow so removed from your parents or grow so disillusioned with them that you stop giving them that weighty place of importance in your life. That's what He's saying. Don't you dare stop caring for them. Don't you dare stop showing deference for them or showing love to them, thinking highly of them. If you think about it, next to the honor that we are to be giving to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Scripture seems to indicate that that next highest place of honor belongs to our parents. Now, some of us who are married might go, well, wait a minute, that should be me. You know, that should. But you'll notice that the Ten Commandments don't mention that at all. Nowhere in the Ten Commandments does it say, you know, honor your wife, honor your husband. Not that those things are necessarily wrong. They're not. But look at the weight God gives the mother-father-child relationship. He puts it right in there. Number 5, as a matter of fact, on the list. This is a big deal. And we need to understand that disrespecting our parents is a serious matter to God. I mean, He wasn't just chatting with the Israelites here. This wasn't just off the cuff something to talk about. He was telling them the rules, the guidelines of holiness by which they were to live their lives, was He not? And He includes the 5th commandment. Honor your mother and your father. Refusing to honor your parents is not just an offense to them. Because of this, it is also an offense to God, is it not? Do you begin to see how relevant this commandment is? And actually quite challenging, if you think about it. I think it's especially challenging because, as you may have noticed when we read verse 12 there, that God, inconveniently for us, didn't bother to include the exception clause for those of us who had less than perfect parents. Did you notice that? It doesn't say that anywhere. I looked. It's not even in the footnotes, man. You know, honor your mother and father unless they were real jerks. Unless they didn't warrant it. Unless, you know, whatever. That's not even here. Obviously, that pretty much covers every person who ever had parents. Because parents aren't perfect. This command applies to each of us. No matter how good or bad our parents were. No matter how weak or strong or how rich or how poor, how lenient, how strict, how normal, or how weird we thought our parents were, this commandment applies to each and every one of us. You know, Romans chapter 15, verse 1, I think, gives us some very good, I was about to say advice, it's not really advice, it's instruction, in how we are to relate to other people, the other relationships in our lives. And I think it's important because guess what? One of the relationships in our lives is with our parents. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15:1. He says, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves." So for those of us who may have had parents who, in our estimation, maybe did not warrant honor. Maybe they didn't, they don't qualify in our way of thinking about things. I think Romans 15:1 kind of covers some of that. As believers in Jesus Christ and how we relate to other people, if we are strong, if we've got it together, so to speak, and we're looking at our parents and going, my word, what is wrong with them? What a mess. I believe Paul would say, you bear with them out of love, not just to please yourself. Those are powerful things for us, especially those of us who've had difficult childhoods, who had painful upbringings. Guys, Paul is not saying here that we should bear with the weaknesses of our parents or anyone else when it is convenient or when it pleases us. Now, obviously, this verse in Romans and of this commandment in Exodus, it does not only apply to perfect families, you know, perfect parents with perfect kids. This is for every one of us. This is for those of us who sometimes had parents who drove us nuts. You're smiling, so you know what I'm talking about. You know, this is for those of us who have parents whose faults were very obvious to us. They were glaring, perhaps. God even says here that we are to honor that imperfect father or that imperfect mother who may have hurt us, who may have really treated us poorly at some point. Now, guys, I'm going to admit to you that this is not an easy thing to do. I honestly wish that I could tell you, yeah, the fifth commandment just applies to all the kids back there, you know. In fact, you can all leave and we'll just bring them in. You know? I wish I could tell you that, but I can't. This is not easy stuff. This is not simple stuff. But this is what this commandment is all about. That is what God was teaching us in this fifth commandment. Now, we're going to look at what that means in more practical terms here in just a minute. But before we move on, I do think it's important for us to notice one other thing about this commandment. And that is that this is the only commandment in this list of 10 that comes with a promise. You might have noticed that. Look again at verse 12. God says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, of course, this was given to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai who were promised their own country, right? That's why it's called the Promised Land. God told them they were going to get it, and so this is obviously relating to that very thing. And we might think, well, we don't really have that, right? Most of us are probably not Jewish, and even if we are, we're not still hoping for that promise to be fulfilled. However, what's interesting is the fact that the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, he also translates this promise to those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, New Testament believers. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 6. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So if you want to know how that promise God gave to the Israelites translates to us, well, there it is. So that it may be well with you, and so that you may live long on the earth. Now, what does that promise mean? I've heard some people say that what that basically means is that if we honor our parents, then they won't kill us. And thus we will live long on the earth. There were days I felt like that when I was a kid. But that is obviously not what God or the Apostle Paul is getting at here. While honoring our parents will certainly, like when we were kids, cause us to endure less pain when we were little, less discipline and things of that sort in our lives, I'm fairly sure that wasn't the intent here. I think it's important for us to see, first of all, that this is not only an individual promise. This is a corporate promise. When God was speaking to the Israelites, He spoke this to all of them. They all were part and parcel of this promise. And I think that's important to notice because obeying all of God's laws is the way to life. It's the way to life. It is the best possible way to live well. You want to live well? You want everyone around you to live well? Obey God's commands. It's fairly simple. It's not so easy to obey, but you understand what I'm saying. If we do that, the result is that we will live well. And I believe that honoring our parents is crucial to the basic functioning of society in every way, socially, economically, spiritually, you name it. And I think some of the problems that we have in our country today is the very fact that we have completely disregarded this commandment. And what has happened? The family unit begins to break down. And when the basic structure of the family breaks down, I believe that it threatens the whole society as well. And all of a sudden, guess what? Corporately, nobody's living well. Nobody's doing as well as they could be doing. Life becomes diminished for everybody. However, when we honor our parents, when we care for them, we are creating a social climate that enhances the possibility of a good and long life. For everybody. Not just for one person, but for society as a whole. So I think there's a corporate aspect to this that God wanted Israel to enjoy as they all obeyed this commandment, if they would all obey this commandment. And I think the same is true for us. God wants us to all, maybe as a body here, a fellowship of believers, as we obey this, then we also reap those benefits corporately. But I also do believe that there is an individual spiritual blessing that is being mentioned here as well for those who will obey God in honoring our parents. You see, we learn by honoring our mom and honoring our dad how to honor God. You know what I mean? If we will learn how to properly honor our parents, that authority structure that God placed in your life, and that's something to think about, guys. I mean, we've all made mistakes in life, right? We've all done things where we've said, boy, you know what? God would not have wanted me to do that. But you know, we cannot say that about our parents. None of you chose them. God did. Now, I don't know all of the circumstances of all of your different upbringings. There's probably some pain, there's probably some joy, and everything in between. But the fact of the matter is, God made that choice. And when we learn to honor those people that God has placed in our life, those parents, those authority figures in our life, we are also, maybe subconsciously at first, learning how to honor God, the ultimate authority figure in our life. You see, just like it is with our parents, we don't honor God because we understand everything that He's doing, right? Have you figured Him out? I haven't figured Him out. As a matter of fact, His very Word says, guess what? You're not figuring Me out. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But, I mean, that's what He says. My ways are above Your ways. They're beyond you figuring them out. We don't honor God because we've got Him figured out. And you know what? We also don't even honor God because we always agree with how He does things. There have been plenty of times in my life when I really thought that I had a much better way of handling something than God said it was going to be done. And I'm sure you have too. We don't honor Him because we always agree with everything or like everything that He is doing. Guys, why do we honor God? It's because He's God. That's all. We honor God because He is God. The reverse of that is, we honor our parents because they are our parents, given to us by God. Not because they've earned it, not because they've measured up, not because they're perfect, not because we're in the mood, but because God said so. There are times when that's as far as we need to go with some things. Because God said so. And I will obey. This is one of those times. We honor our parents simply because they are our parents. And God, in His infinite wisdom, said, these are your parents. These are the ones to whom I'm giving you. And when we give honor, whether it's to our parents or whether it's to our Heavenly Father, you know what happens? We receive blessing. We receive blessing, guys. You know, the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. And we generally have a tendency to think of that as relating only to money, right? And it can certainly apply in that regard. But I think in a very real way it applies here too. If you give honor to God, Scripture says God will honor you. If you honor your parents, there will come blessing into your life as well as you are obedient to God. So I just want to encourage you guys. Don't miss out on this promise. There's a promise here for you, given to us by God. And we'll miss out on that if we withhold that honor that God intends for us to give to our parents. So, that's what this commandment means. That's what God is telling us here. But I'd also like to ask this evening, what did Jesus have to say about this commandment? It's always telling, always very revealing when we look and see what Jesus had to say about a particular commandment. And each week I've tried to do that, tried to kind of bring the context of Jesus Christ into each of those and see what He had to say. As probably some of you are aware, He taught about a lot of the commandments on the Sermon on the Mount. He did not on this particular one. Commandment 5, fifth commandment, did not come up in the Sermon on the Mount. However, He referred to it later. Matthew chapter 15, you're welcome to turn there if you want to. Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. Let me kind of give you a picture there. Basically, Jesus was confronted by some of the most religious people around at the time, and which they seemed to be confronting Jesus a lot when He was here. And basically, these were people who, even though they were incredibly, incredibly religious, they had thought that they had found a very sneaky way around this commandment. And so Jesus responds to them and basically reveals the intents of their heart, which He was very good at doing. Listen to what Jesus said, starting there at verse 3. And He answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" Well, what commandment is He talking about? Well, look at verse 4. "For God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God, he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition." Do you get the sneaking suspicion here that Jesus was probably not smiling when He said this? I have a feeling this is probably one of the terse moments as Jesus spoke with these religious leaders. I want you to notice what Jesus says here. First of all, He affirms that this is a command of God, does He not? He does. The command to honor our parents, according to Jesus, is of divine origin. The second thing I want you to notice is that He quotes, obviously, Exodus 20:12 that we're looking at, but He also quotes Exodus 21:17. You might have noticed it there. It says, "He who speaks evil of their father or mother is to be put to death." I want you to notice that, because what that shows us here is how serious this command is. In Israel, right, God's covenant community, disrespecting your parents was considered, alongside things like murder, to be a capital offense worthy of the death penalty. Did you know that? Yeah. Now, we don't live in a theocracy today, basically a government that is under the direct rule of God. So this particular punishment no longer applies. I don't want you running out to your kids after service and saying, "Hey, guess what we learned?" Okay, because that ain't going to fly. This particular punishment no longer applies. And for those of us in here, we can all breathe a sigh of relief. Okay? That's a good thing. But here, Jesus affirms that this is not only a command from God, but that breaking this commandment is an incredibly serious matter. But then Jesus confronts a group of adults, these religious leaders, who agreed outwardly they would have agreed and said, yep, we agree with the fifth commandment entirely. And yet they thought they had found a loophole around it. You see, Jewish tradition allowed that funds that you had set aside, a savings account, so to speak, that you had set aside to care for your parents, primarily when they were elderly or infirmed or in some way unable to take care of themselves, that this money that you had could be declared what was called korban, or legally dedicated to God. So what this little bit of maneuvering meant was that instead of giving that money to financially assist your parents, to take care of them in some way, you would instead give the money to the temple. Okay? Now, this is me dedicating all of this money that was earmarked for my parents. I'm dedicating it to the temple. Now, on the surface, that may sound, you know, okay. Kind of weird, but okay. But the interesting thing was, is that the common practice of the day was that the temple would then allow you to keep all or most of, maybe they took a little for themselves probably, but they would allow you then to keep that money for yourself and benefit from it as long as it was dedicated to God. Then they would turn around and tell their parents, as Jesus quotes them there, I can't help you anymore. This money that I have has been dedicated to God. And thus, I don't have to take care of you. This is what they were doing. Interesting, isn't it? Basically, they had found a way out of honoring their parents, one way by which is financially supporting them, by playing the spiritual trump card. And I love the fact that Jesus would have none of it. Just, he calls it what it is, right out in the open for everybody to hear. Whenever he's talking to these guys in this way, I often wonder if Jesus wasn't raising his voice a little bit so that all the people around would hear what was happening. You notice that Jesus said here that what they were actually doing was nullifying the Word of God. Can you imagine the Son of God telling you that you were nullifying the Word of God? Now, I have a feeling these religious leaders didn't care. But for those of us that would care, it tells us the degree to which Jesus was taking offense. Remember, as I said before, if you refuse to honor your mother and father, you are not just offending them. Who are you offending? God. That's why Jesus is upset here. He is God. You see, Jesus here not only reaffirms the commandment to honor our parents, but He emphasized it in the strongest possible terms. He's reaffirmed here that this commandment applies to adult children. He was talking to adults here, not little kids. And He's fleshed out for us some of what honoring our parents means. It's not just sending them a card at Christmas. It might involve financial support. It might involve more than we might even like to think about sometimes. Part of honoring our parents means financially supporting them when they are unable to support themselves. Boy, we don't like that part of it any more than the rabbis liked it. We don't like stuff messing with our pocketbook, man. Do we? We don't like it. We don't want those things touched. We want to do what we want with it. But what Jesus said is pretty clear, I think. The Apostle Paul reinforces this same idea, the same thought in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to what he says. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Ouch. That's like a whiplash verse, you know? I mean, man alive, Paul. I mean, that's harsh language there. Guys, providing financially for our family, for our parents if they're in need, it is a spiritual issue. It's not just a duty. It's a spiritual issue. And if we refuse to do this, Paul says that it shows that we simply have not grasped the gospel. We don't get it. We don't even understand the basis of the gospel, which is God's love for us who didn't deserve a thing. It's tantamount to denying the faith, Paul says. This faith that we profess to believe. So the way that Jesus reacted to these religious leaders really isn't that surprising at all. And Jesus does not qualify this command, and He does not weaken it in any way, does He? He closes up every loophole. And to fail to obey God in this is not only disrespectful to our parents, as I said, but it also nullifies God's Word. And it is implicitly a denial of the Gospel. Guys, that's heavy stuff, man. I don't know about you, but that really struck me this week. The gravity of this and how God looks at this. This is not a commandment to be taken lightly. Now, I'd like to finish this evening with what may be the most important question of all, and that is, how in the world do I keep this commandment? How do I do this? You know, there have probably been very few times in history in which the fifth commandment would have been more countercultural, more timely, or more necessary than it is in our society today. We are in desperate need of this, man. We need this commandment. I mean, think about it. Most of us, inadvertently perhaps, just through osmosis in our society sometimes, I mean, we've been taught to question authority, haven't we? You know, we question authority. And our children are taught to be independent and self-governing at a very early age. You know, I mean, it amazes me sometimes when you hear different authorities on child rearing talk about how early you're supposed to cut those strings and just let them go. You know, it's like, my word, you know, what's the point of having mom and dad, you know, if they're just going to basically raise themselves? And the fifth commandment reminds us of the importance of submitting to and honoring those who are rightfully in authority over us, especially our parents. Now, I'm sure that we have all noticed that in our country we have a tendency to be very individualistic, don't we? Yep. We like to just kind of, you know, be on our own and do our own thing, and we don't want to be infringed upon too much by anybody else. And because of this, I think this commandment challenges us in some very, very practical ways. Let me just speak first of all to parents. You've probably all heard of Grimm's fairy tales. Probably most of us have, you know, grew up. And one of the lesser known ones, one of the lesser known stories is of this very old man. And in describing the old man, this is how it reads. It says, this old man whose eyes had become dim, his ears dull of hearing, his knees trembled, and when he sat at the table, he could hardly hold the spoon and spilt the broth upon the tablecloth or let it run out of his mouth. And the story goes on to say that this man's son and his son's wife had become so disgusted with this guy and the things that he was doing that they banished him from the table. They wouldn't let him eat with them anymore. And then, even worse apparently, at one point he had broken his bowl, and so they made him eat out of a trough. And they just treated this man horribly. Well, one day, this couple's son, who was 4 years old, began to make something out of a piece of wood. And both parents saw it and they thought, oh, isn't that cute? You know, isn't that precious? And so they go to their son and they asked him, they said, what are you making? And he said, well, I'm making a little trough for mother and father to eat out of when I get big. Now, obviously, these fairy tales, these often had, they were morality plays oftentimes. And this couple, they looked at one another and they wept. Because they realized that they were teaching their son how to treat them when they got older. And so they brought the grandfather back to the table and they gave him honor. And from that point on, they let him eat with them and they never complained. And even if he did spill a little bit on the tablecloth from time to time. And you get the idea, right? The way that you, as an adult, are treating your parents is teaching your children how to treat you someday. It's not like you're sitting down with them and saying, here's how it goes. But they learn by osmosis. They watch and they see. That's something to consider. Remember I said this commandment has the ability to affect how we live well or not so, depending on how we obey it. Now, how this applies will look different in every circumstance. I understand that. To such an extent that there is no way I could touch on every single application in every single circumstance presented here this evening. So each one of us, we need to be seeking the Lord for the particulars on how we obey this. Knowing the far-reaching effects that it has on our kids, on our well-being, on our parents, on society as a whole. We need to know and hear from the Lord exactly how we should proceed in honoring God by honoring our parents. But guys, the principle's really clear. Honor your mother and your father. How are you doing in keeping that command? Don't yell out an answer. How are you doing with your parents? Maybe if your parents aren't with you anymore, maybe you reflect back on how things were with them. Guys, we need to know how we are caring for our parents. We need to ask ourselves, how am I doing that? Am I doing okay? Am I caring for them perhaps financially? Am I caring for them socially? Am I caring for them emotionally? Am I caring for them spiritually? Am I involved in their lives? Not out of pity, out of duty, or any of those other things that we sometimes do things for. But out of honor. Out of giving them that weighty place in our lives. Even to the degree that we are not indifferent to them anymore. Not indifferent to their needs. That we are in fact meeting those needs. I mean, our job as parents, for those of us who that applies to, is to teach our children how to respect authority, is it not? We don't always do the best job at that, but that is part of our job as parents before the Lord. And one of the best ways to do this is to teach them not only with our words, but with our actions. And when they see mom and dad honoring their mom and dad, when they see that that is how it is supposed to be, they have a much better chance of doing that same thing with you when you are that age. You ever noticed how often society talks about deadbeat dads, right? Deadbeat parents who fail to take care of their underage children, and rightly so. It's a horrible thing. But guys, do you know there is such a thing as deadbeat sons and daughters? I believe there is. Who fail to take care of their parents, who fail to honor their parents or meet the needs of their parents when they're feeble and needy. We need to teach our children not to be deadbeat kids, both by teaching them what God's Word says on the subject and also by demonstrating what it looks like in our lives by how we are honoring our parents. But one last thing I do want to say, just in closing, and a bit of a slightly different application of this, and that is how this applies to the church. You see, this commandment really should transform the way that we view our family relationships, don't you think? It should. But this commandment should also transform our view of authority as well, and our understanding of it. And I believe it should also transform our view of church. You know, according to Scripture, church is not a building, right? Church is not a club. Church is not a pastor. Church is a family. Is that not how the Bible describes the church? It is a family. The church is not something that I attend when I'm in the mood. You know, it's not something I'm part of when it suits me. It's Jesus' own family, united by His own blood. And that means that we are called, as Peter tells us, to love one another. and to honor one another. Now, I know the fifth commandment applies to mom and dad, but I think the premise of it applies in a very broad way as well, in our relationships across the board. Because we are called not only to honor our parents and other authorities in our lives, but we are called to love and honor those in our spiritual family for the good of all. And I think in that sense it does apply. And guys, this is one of the reasons why the church is supposed to be, so countercultural. We're not supposed to look like the world. We're supposed to be different. And this is part of it. People in the world are not shocked if you go to church because it's cool, you know, and they got a great program and they got this and that, or you know, that you enjoy it or that you're getting some benefit from it. They're not shocked by that. I mean, in that regard, it's no different to them than going to the movies or joining the Elks Club, you know. Hey, if it's good for you and you like it, more power to you. But guys, they will be shocked. And I can guarantee you they will not understand if you are committing to people who cost you something. People like all of us who sometimes are annoying and inconvenient. If you are committed to people, not just in a superficial way, but in a way that costs you something. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking across the board. Just as it would cost you to honor your mother and father, it would cost you to honor and love others in your spiritual family as well. Guys, that's the stuff the world looks at and goes, what in the world is that? Look at the way they treat their parents. Look at the way they treat one another. Look at the way they treat those in positions of authority. It's amazing. But that is what it means to be part of Christ's family. It means committing to a particular group of people and loving them sacrificially and in a broad sense. I think that the fifth commandment pulls us out of our selfishness. I think that's part of what God intended. I mean, I suppose He could have said, you know, fifth commandment is thou shalt not be selfish. You know, but this exemplifies it. He's pulling us out of that self-centered, selfish place that we tend to be in, and it causes us to live for other people, doesn't it? To care for others. Not just for our parents, but you know, for all of those that God has placed in authority, and not to mention everyone else that's been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Guys, a commandment like this is only possible to understand and in fact possible to obey because of Jesus. And we sang about that a little bit earlier. Because you see, what this commandment requires of us at a very basic level is exactly what Jesus Christ did for each one of you, didn't He? He honored His Father, didn't He? He obeyed His Father, honoring Him in a way that cost Him greatly for you. If He had not honored His Father, if He had not been obedient, you and I would not be here tonight. Well, we might, but we might be watching a movie or something, you know? I mean, we wouldn't be here as the body of Christ. Jesus is the ultimate example, not just because He honored Joseph and Mary, because He honored God, His Father. Guys, what could possibly pull us out of our selfishness so that we can live for others? Whether it's mom and dad or the person sitting next to you. I think it's because we have a Savior who perfectly honored His Father and gave His life so that you and I, the weak, right? The poor, the rebellious, the unlovely, those people who are spilling on the tablecloth and breaking their bowls, so that we might be saved. That's the example that Jesus set for us so that we could be adopted and changed and blessed. Amen? Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank You for this evening and I thank You for this section of Scripture. Father, I pray that You would apply it to our lives. Lord, I'm just up here talking. But I would suspect and I hope and I pray that Your Holy Spirit is already beginning to do work in our hearts in regards to our personal situations with our parents, Perhaps with someone else who's in a place of authority in our life. Maybe with a brother or sister sitting next to us. Father, You know how to take these things and apply them specifically to each one of our hearts and situations. And Father, I ask that You would do it. I pray, Lord, that You would show us how that we can honor You by honoring our mother and father, by keeping this commandment that You gave to us. Father, thank You for Your faithfulness to us. Thank You for sending Your Son so that we would have that ultimate example of what this commandment looks like. Father, I pray that as we leave here tonight, that You would continue to minister to each of our hearts in this regard. Father, we love You and we thank You. In Your Son's name.